Hello and welcome. You are listening to For the Love of Dog, a podcast related to all things dog, just in case the title wasn't clear enough. I'm Kerry Jordan, a professional dog photographer, whippet enthusiast, and a serial dog cuddler. Hi all, and welcome to season two of For the Love of Dog. This season, I'm going to be talking to people and brands who are helping us become eco-friendly dog owners. This is a cause which is really close to my heart after I did a beach clean. It was a small island while I was on holiday, and I wasn't prepared for the fact that just a fraction of the beach filled four refuse sacks. The terrifying thing is that they do this beach clean every week, and every week they collect the same or more. When you see statistics like 100,000 marine animals are dying every year from plastic entanglement, you start to realise just how dire this situation is. Just a couple of things before I introduce you to today's guest. You may hear a little bit of thumping noise for the first few minutes of the interview. That's actually Ben's puppy destroying a Christmas tree box, but it doesn't carry on for the entirety of the interview. The other thing is, I did say 2008 in the interview at the start, and it's actually 2018. So without much further ado, I will introduce you. So today I'm going to be talking to Ben from Adios Plastic, who recently launched a compostable plant-based poop bag back in 2008. I came across him after a post in a local Facebook business group I'm in, and I was immediately intrigued, basically because of my lack of knowledge of these things. So Ben, welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us the story behind your brand?
Hi, I'm Ben from Adios Plastic. So about 18 months ago, I was sort of looking to start another business, and I wasn't really sure what to do, and I've always been quite passionate about the environment and about animals. So I was looking at various different products, sort of looking at something that would tie in to both aspects, but it was quite sort of difficult. I was going through a lot of different products and I wasn't really sure what to do. And then I started researching the poo bags, and then researching that, speaking to all different people, sort of realizing that a lot of bags that are on the market are not necessarily what people think they are, and they're not as and they're nowhere near as eco-friendly as people think they are. So I started sort of learning about different materials and different ways that bags are made and etc. And yeah, sort of from there, I was pretty set on that. I thought it was a really good product, because you shouldn't really get any returns. It's not something that can really go faulty. So that's always good when you're in sort of e-commerce and retail. No returns. The fact that it was obviously really good for the environment, and we was really trying to push that point. Even with things like the packaging, I didn't want to just make any packaging the same as everyone else. So we sort of researched that, and we ended up getting it made with a local company just a few miles down the road from us, actually. And it's all made from FSC cardboard, so it all comes from sustainable sources. So sort of everything that went into the brand, it was always about the most ethically sourced product, the most environmentally friendly, and sort of being true about it as well, which is obviously why we called it Adios Plastic. We really sort of stick behind that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, starting it was sort of researching to lots of different products, but I wanted it to be something completely different to what I've done before, something around the environment, around nature and animals, sort of. And then the bags really bring them two together really well. So it was sort of brilliant when I started looking into it a lot more.
I know that you've actually recently become a dog parent. Did that kind of tie in with your decision, or was that your decision way before you got your...
The business started before. And then I was always sort of thinking, it's a bit of a shame that we can't sort of test them out ourselves. And I was thinking, we've always wanted a dog anyway. We've always wanted a dog, but we've always come up with excuses to not get one. because, you know, maybe we didn't think we was ready, or the house is not big enough, or this and that. Just reasons you come up with for not doing anything. So we always sort of put it off, and it was always in the plans. And then, yeah, one day I was sort of sitting there, and I thought, you know, it would be really nice actually to sort of have a dog, you know, to sort of come home to, and everything. And I've had dogs growing up, so yeah, I sort of started researching different dogs.
Awesome. And,
we wanted a family dog, and then sort of started contacting breeders. When I want to do something, I seem to read every book on the subject. So I started buying like all different dog books and sort of reading up on it and everything. So yeah, and then it was quite quick actually as well. It was only sort of about 2 weeks later we had Luna. it just tied in at the same time, but there was various reasons. We was always going to get a dog anyway. And then obviously now with Luna, we get to test the product on her. She's our ambassador when we do things. So it's so, and then we're now adjusting obviously our lifestyle around that to make sure that she gets all the time.
They do that. They take up a whole lot.
it just sort of came about around the same sort of time, really. But the bags was a long time in the making. The bags was a lot of research and a lot of procrastinating, putting it off, talking myself out of it, and everything else. But yeah, when I did decide to actually do it, Luna came soon after.
So I've got to admit, Ben, I'm not like you with the research thing. I tried to use biodegradable bags, but I have to be honest, I haven't looked properly into what this meant. So can you explain why your poo bags are different from the biodegradable bags?
Yeah, so a lot of the bags on the market at the minute, some of them have actually changed their wording since I've sort of started doing it as well. So in the year and that I was researching, things actually did start changing naturally. But what was happening and what still happens is that a lot of bags are advertised as biodegradable just purely because the laws around that in the UK are not very strict. In the US, it's actually a lot more strict, and you can't advertise those bags in the US as biodegradable because the laws are just so much more stringent. So for something to be biodegradable here, it has to break down naturally, but that's not the end of it. It's not just, oh, it breaks down, that's fine. What happens is the bags all break down into microplastic, which is actually a lot worse than plastic because it's a lot smaller and it gets into the food stream and the water supply a lot easier, just because it's a lot more agile and it's a lot smaller. And the bags will break down into microplastic, and then they'll just stick around for as long as plastic does, until obviously it gets eaten by microorganisms and fish, and then it works its way up the food chain, and eventually you can order fish in a restaurant and you get your bag back because it's inside the fish.
that's
basically what it is. We actually made a video about that as well, as one of our first product sort of launch videos, showing the sort of chain of what happens, and we did some calculations and stuff on the plastic usage as well. That's a very good video. But that's what most bags are at the minute. When people see biodegradable bags or think they're biodegradable, that's what you get. Is you get something that's made from plastic. It's 98% plastic, and they put an additive in, which is called an EPI additive. It makes the bag technically oxo biodegradable. So if you want to learn a bit more, you just Google oxo biodegradable. Articles about it. It's not backed by any science at all. There was recent articles come out recently by a professor at the University of Plymouth, I think his name is Richard, who sort of investigated it a bit further, but you can read that online as well. So they put this additive in, and it does help it break down, but nowhere on the packaging will it tell you how long that takes.
Yeah.
You've got a plastic bag, it takes 500 years to break down. You've got a plastic bag with an additive, EPI additive, it's quicker.
But it's still plastic.
Still plastic, and how much quicker is it? It doesn't tell you. They won't tell you on the packaging. They won't put it in print.
Because it's terrifying.
Yeah, because they can't back it up by science, and they can't prove how long it takes. So they don't pull it onto their packaging.
Wow.
So yeah, it's that. My bags are made from mainly cornstarch, and it's all completely made from plants. Don't get that confused with plant-based bags, because that's different. That's what the EPR additive ones are. They advertise them as plant-based. Because they put the additive in, so they call it plant-based, but it's not a lot, really. It doesn't really mean anything. But yeah, mine are made 100% from plants, and you can fully compost them. There's obviously a lot of questions, I'm sure, you know, you're welcome to ask around composting as well.
That was my next question, actually.
The bags are fully compostable. They're made only from plants, all natural materials, and composted properly, they will break down in 3 to 6 months.
Because I've read a little bit on your website, and when you say compost, it's not like you put it on your normal food compost.
No. here's the issue with dog poo. You can't compost it with your normal household compost, unfortunately. It has to be a separate pile. It has to be kept separate, and that pile would be for your dog poo only. When you compost it, you can't guarantee that you're going to get rid of the pathogens and everything else that might be in there, especially if your dog is poorly or it's got worms or anything like that. There's going to be all sorts of things in there. So you can't guarantee that you can get the compost heap hot enough to kill those pathogens. So it's best to keep it separate in a separate pile, and don't use it on edible plants. You can use it on your shrubbery, on your hanging baskets, any pretty flowers in the garden that are just for show. That's all fine. But yeah, they have to be composted separately, separate pile. But composted properly, you will get a good compost out of it that you can use for those reasons mentioned.
From what I've read, actually, I mean, I can't believe I'm talking about this on a podcast, but dog poo compost is apparently quite rich in nutrients. It's a really good compost.
Yes, it is. I've done some research in it, of course. And a lot of people do say that. And yeah, I think it's really big in America. When I'm sort of researching, there's a lot of people in America that are doing it, and they've got all these homemade drums, and they're drilling holes in the side, and they're showing you videos how to do it, and they'll bury it in a garden, and then they'll just keep on adding to it. And yeah, you do get really good quality compost out of it. So there is a misconception over that, whether you should or shouldn't compost it. You shouldn't compost it with your household compost, and you shouldn't put it on plants that you're going to eat.
Okay. No, that's really good to know, actually, because I think it's definitely something that I'm going to try. I'm a fairly sort of keen but amateur gardener. But then the other thing was, I think I read it on your website. Is it you can do wormeries with it?
Yeah. So a couple of customers I sold to actually was sort of commenting on Facebook and saying, oh, they was really happy because they can use the bags on a dog poo wormery. And I did look into that as well. It works for a similar way, but it's a lot more, these are a lot smaller, and they're sort of a lot more, they take up a lot less space, and I think they're a lot easier to manage.
Yeah.
So you buy them online, dog poo wormery home kit. You can choose to get it with or without the worms. So you can add.
Such a random thing.
Yeah, people without worms. those are best to be kept in sort of a dry places. So a lot of people will keep them in their garden shed, out the way from children and animals.
Yeah.
And yeah, the worms will just feast off of that. it comes back to the whole. It's just all natural. Back into the food chain, and it's just a circle, and it can just keep on being composted, and yes, it's brilliant, rather than the alternatives that we all know that.
So The last thing sort of around the business is, I'm quite excited about what I'm hearing from your business. I think, you know, you're really hitting this sort of market at exactly the right time. You know, first of all, the pet market is booming. And second of all, people are becoming much, much more aware of any kind of waste and things. So what do you think is in the pipeline for Adios Plastic? Where do you want to be sort of, it sounds like a job interview question, but in 10 years time?
It's tricky because I really don't know because when I only got my stock about 5 weeks ago, maybe six. I was waiting a long time for it. It was a long lead time, but so I was obviously doing work in the background, but I wouldn't have thought that 5 or 6 weeks into it would be where we are. It's gone well. It's been good. It's been very enjoyable. And, there's been a lot of chatter online. A lot is coming from Instagram. Obviously people like yourselves getting in touch, and it's brilliant. So if you would ask me at the beginning, oh, where do you want to be in 6 weeks? I never would have thought this. I think it's changing for me. I think it's changing too fast, and it's hard for me to sort of put a pen to paper and say, right, this is what we're going to do. At the minute, it's hard for me to do that. I have done that in other businesses.
Yeah.
It also never works out what you think is going to work out. It doesn't matter. I think it was Jeff Bezos when I read his book on launching Amazon, and you know, obviously people asking him similar questions, and it, you know, he's saying in that industry you can't plan 30 seconds into the future, let alone 3 years or 5 years or anything like that. Obviously, I'm not comparing myself to Amazon, but
you never know.
But there is certain times when you just don't know. So I want to keep on the poo bags. I want to make them the best, most environmentally friendly, most honest poo bags on the market. And I would like to sort of specialize in that product for the time being. I don't want to go off on a tangent on lots of different products and then lose focus. I do have other products on the website, but they're more sort of promotional items that we can tie in with the bags. And we're going to do different offers and giveaways and stuff using those sort of other products. So they're more of a vehicle to sort of go with the bags. But I'd like to specialize in the bags by having a range of colors and the biggest range of colors and options available for cornstarch bags, and to have the best quality ones. And then from there, I know it will naturally grow. And I need to grow at the right speed as well, because the lead time is very long, and so it's hard to predict, obviously, when placing orders. So I also need to try and obviously steer that right as well.
I think the reason for, well, as I said, I think your timing is just perfect, and it's the reason that you've gone like almost interstellar in 6 weeks, because I've seen the products and the chatter and everything. You know, since I think I saw you about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. I was excited then, so I'm really excited to see how it goes for you. I think it's gonna be brilliant.
Yeah, I think you was one of the first customers, and I think what happened was in the first week a couple of customers bought them, and they just recommended them to everybody, which was brilliant. So yeah, it was really sort of good. I think there was a couple of people that you know who had bought them, and it was getting shared on Instagram within a few days. It was on everyone's stories, and yeah, it was just sort of getting out there. And then, so yeah, it's gone really well, but I think there was a lot of work put into it as well, so I'm glad it sort of obviously had that.
Absolutely.
Sort of we obviously did the best we could, and obviously people like it, so that's brilliant.
Yeah, no, the hard work that goes into sort of a launch of something like this, I can't even estimate. I think you know, people see you doing really well really quickly, but actually it's taken X amount of months and years to lead up to this. Yeah. So There is a very, well, so I like doing a quick fire round just because it gets, lets people know a little bit more insight into the person behind the brand. Basically, it is, you don't think about it too much. Whatever comes to your head, don't worry if it's not so quick. It never seems to be very quick when I do these, because we always have a conversation. First question, city, countryside, or sea?
I would say countryside at the minute. maybe the sea later on, further down the line. And okay. Maybe if we clean up all the oceans first, then the sea will become a bit more attractive.
Good call, good call. How would you describe yourself as a teenager in three words?
A horrible little shit.
I think we all were. That's the most honest answer I've had.
Yeah, I was the youngest. So I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't very well behaved.
Do you prefer texting or talking?
Oh, texting definitely. I don't answer my phone half the time. I
have a fear of answering phones, which is terrible in my business.
Cool WhatsApp, because I can do six conversations at once. A lot more productive.
If you could learn to communicate with one animal in the world, what would it be?
That's a hard one. I want to say dog, but it's kind of like the obvious answer.
Dog is fine.
Maybe something a bit more sort of, a bit more of a creative answer, but I think the first thing that comes to mind would be a dog.
Perfect. For a podcast that's all about dog, then that's brilliant. What is your favourite holiday destination?
I haven't been on tons and tons of holidays, but at the minute, our favourite destination has been Egypt.
Oh, nice. That was one of my first holiday destinations. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And your favourite season?
Summer.
Excellent. which we haven't had any this year. What do you think a person needs to be happy?
I have read a lot about this topic actually, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, as long as you're happy, it doesn't matter, as long as you're happy, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So I think happiness, I'm not going to quote this right, but I'm going to try and obviously say it in my own words, but I think happiness comes from achieving meaningful goals on a regular basis.
Awesome. So
a meaningful goal, it's not, it could be anything. It's not about one thing. It's not all about the money. But it's not
objective to the person, I guess.
Yeah. So a lot of people obviously say, you know, it's not all about money as long as you're happy, but you can, you know, people are obviously happy in different ways. I think a lot of people become happy from achieving their goals. I think if you set goals and if you set standards and if you go out to achieve them and you achieve them time after time, then that is happiness. That goal could be going on holiday with your family abroad. It could be spending more time with your family. It could be starting a business and making some money. It could be anything, but a meaningful goal and then going out to achieve that.
That is very deep, Ben. Thank you.
I've read a lot into it.
I'm the same. I'm fascinated with sort of how the brain works and things. So anything that's psychology-based, I just latch onto. And the last question, what is the worst advice that you've ever been given?
I knew you was going to ask this question. It's a very common question on a few different podcasts I listen to as well, and I sort of hear this question pop up.
Now I feel common.
No. It's a very good question as well. I don't listen to a lot. I don't listen to advice from the people that I don't want to listen to it from. So I normally would switch off when someone would sort of, I know is bad advice, but I can't think of much off the top of my head. I remember growing up and people tell you, oh, you know, money isn't everything. Money doesn't grow on trees. As long as you're happy, then it doesn't matter. But it's not true. I think a lot of people get sold on the story of what money is. So there's a lot of bad advice about money. Mm-hmm. And there's about having money and having too much money. I know it's greed, and I suppose that would be it. But I don't listen to it, and I tend to switch off when people start talking about it, because I, like I said, I've read a lot, I listen to a lot of podcasts, I follow a lot of people, and I know that it's not true. Money only makes you more of who you are. So if you're a philanthropist and you've got more money, you can give more away.
Wow.
If you're a horrible person and you get more money, you're going to do more horrible things. So it doesn't, it only escalates and makes more of what you already are.
It amplifies, yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. That's it, spot on. It amplifies what you already are. So I think there's a lot of bad advice around money. And I was told all those stories by my parents and growing up. And they would say, oh, you know, as long as you're happy, it doesn't matter. But it does matter, because it can give you more opportunities in life.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
So, have money. It's not about just the money, but it's opportunities, and you can have more freedom. You can have more opportunities. You can give more away. You can give back. You can get involved in all sorts of things. When you have money, you have more opportunity. And yeah, I think a lot of people get sold this story on money, and it's very bad advice. And the people that give that advice haven't got any money. That's it. People that tell you that money is bad haven't got any money, and that's why they haven't got any.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it all boils down to your mindset around money. I didn't grow up with very much money at all, so I can take it or leave it. But as you said, I want to be successful in the monetary terms, because I want to be able to help other people. So that's amplifying something that I already was doing I'm not sort of hugely rich, but when I get there, it's not something that, you know, it's going to change me in a bad way. I hope that I will just be able to help other people. So, wow, that was really insightful. Thank you. Ben, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm so looking forward to seeing where Adios Plastic goes. Obviously, I'm already a fan of your bags. I've got 5 dogs, so I can fit a lot in them. And I'm now off to research some composteries and some wormeries. But why don't you tell everybody where we can find you on sort of the website and social media?
Yeah, so website adiosplastic.com or .co.uk, Facebook Adios Plastic, Instagram @ Adios Plastic. That's the only channels I'm on for the meantime, but obviously I'll be on more sort of as we grow and as I get around to it.
Ben, have a lovely evening. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.